For KASU News, I'm News Director Jonathan Reeves. Joining me in the studios is Chintan Desai. He is a Democratic challenger for the 1st Congressional District races. He is challenging current Republican U.S. Representative Rick Crawford. Mr. Desai, thank you so much for joining me. We sure appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
First of all, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm not from here. I don't know if it's clear from the name or my background, but I am grew up in California. And I went to school at UC Davis. My parents were Indian immigrants, so I'm a first-generation Indian American. I got to the Arkansas Delta, to Helena specifically, by way of a program called Teach for America, which places recent college grads, young professionals in lower-income areas to teach. So I taught fifth-grade social studies for a couple of years, got lucky in a lot of ways in sticking around, and was in a different role at the same school district, and have essentially been doing that for the last 6 years. This is my seventh year in Helena, and I think in that process just got really involved with the community in Helena, Phillips County. I serve on the Boys and Girls Club board, Delta Cultural Center, involved with Kiwanis down there. I think really just came to love love the community and get involved politically, and ran for city council myself last year in 2016, and obviously now running for Congress in 2018.
So do you anticipate your ethnicity being a factor in this campaign?
I'm sure there will be. So I acknowledge that there is a piece of that. I understand that. I am upfront about it. I don't want to hide that at all. At the same time, and I mentioned this earlier today in the previous interview, you know, ultimately, I think I have a high opinion of Arkansan voters, and the things that matter to them are, you know, am I getting enough food to eat? Do I have a place to sleep at night, a secure place? Are my kids getting what they need in terms of education and opportunities? Am I advancing myself in terms of my economic security? These are the things that matter most to them, and ultimately, I think that's the decision that Arkansan voters are presented with. And my argument is that the current representative, current Congressman Crawford, who is a good man, he served our country. I have a high opinion of him. At the same time, he's made some votes and taken policy positions that are not good for a lot of East Arkansans. And so ultimately, that's what it's all about.
So tell me about, I know you mentioned a few of the reasons why you wanted to run for the seat, but kind of tell us about that. That's the next question. Is why do you feel like it was important for you to be able to throw your hat into this race, please?
Yeah, so a lot of it is a dissatisfaction with Congressman Crawford and some of the votes he's taken. In particular, if I wanted to point out to you, him voting for the American Health Care Act earlier this year. It did not pass, but voting for a measure that would have ultimately resulted in 23 million Americans losing coverage over 10 years and certainly disproportionately affecting East Arkansans who are older and maybe not in as great of health. And second, the recent tax bill, again, we're talking about a disproportionate negative effect for lower-income East Arkansans. And I looked at, you know, those policy positions, and I saw the demographics of East Arkansans, my neighbors, the people that I work with, the people that I stand up for, and I thought, that's not okay, and that's not the representation they deserve, and they deserve to have someone debate Congressman Crawford on those issues. Keep in mind, this is someone that didn't even have a Democratic opponent in 2016, which makes me mad every time I say that and think of that. So it is, in some ways, a campaign where, yeah, there's a feeling of nothing to lose and everything to gain. But as we're getting some momentum, more and more I'm thinking of, well, what does this campaign mean in terms of how we win? And that is also why I'm running, so I can represent East Arkansas in a better way.
So let's talk about those two issues, if you don't mind, Since you brought them up. First of all, let's talk about health care. Obviously, a hot issue. It is a benefit for those who don't have insurance, and it covers a lot of those Arkansans in that regard. There are others on the flip side who say that the premiums are very high, they're not affordable, there are complaints about the plans not including everything, you know, or maybe things that people don't need in that regard. Even the previous challengers on the Democratic side have said, yeah, Obamacare is not perfect, but it's what we have to work with. How do you think that – how would you address the future of healthcare, specifically in some of those areas where people have had a lot of concerns about high premiums and other things like that? How would you address some of those concerns about healthcare?
Yeah, I mean – and it is very similar to the, along the lines of thinking of it in terms of it's not a perfect bill. It's not something that's an ideal scenario, but it is what we're working with. And when we're thinking about again, what the alternative that has been proposed is not something that is amenable to folks like myself and certainly people that are affected by it. I think the general principle in healthcare has to be, how are you covering the most people in the most effective way possible? And when we talk about things like high premiums and you know, people having complaints about, oh, I don't really need all this, then yeah, let's address those specific concerns. Let's not overhaul and repeal the entire law.
Okay, so how would you address those specific concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the premiums being high and a lot of, you know, maybe more options than needed, I wonder if you could go and give some autonomy to states in terms of making those decisions. I wonder how you can incentivize more insurers to enter the marketplace. I mean, I think those are just a couple options to tackle that.
Tax reform has also been examined in that regard. Your thoughts, I know you said that tax reform was a huge issue. How would you address tax reform if you were in Congress?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I don't want it to seem like it's don't do what the Republicans are currently doing, but that is part of it. Like, it's not, the idea is not to give tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans. And I think the concept of trickle-down economics has been debunked and disproven multiple times over. When we're talking about tax breaks or tax reform, what are we doing to provide relief to middle-income and lower-income Americans so that they have you know, money to spend on the things that the bread and butter issues, the things that matter to them, the things that will uplift them out of maybe their current condition. I mean, the tax code is absolutely, you know, esoteric and hard to describe and define. I wonder if reform, certainly it makes sense as something that is a long-term goal, but is it the most important thing right now to completely overhaul it in a way that, again, just benefits certain Americans? I question that.
Chintan Desai joining us here on KASU. One question that I have for you, what is your strategy for winning a district that's increasingly gone Republican over the past several election cycles?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. The first thing I would say, yes, it has. At the same time, for generations before that, it was a strong Democratic stronghold. And so when you think about older voters, these are older voters that have switched parties and potentially multiple times, which makes me think and really strongly believe that this is not the hyper-partisan race that some might think it is. It is going back to the bread and butter issues. You know, people care about do they have enough to eat? Do they have a safe place to sleep at night? Are their kids getting better opportunities? I think those are issues that resonate well with a lot of East Arkansans. And that's the message that, I mean, if we're talking about how to win, I mean, just it's a huge district, 30 counties. So how am I getting that message to all 30 counties? Physically, in person, talking to people. And that's the roadmap that we have in front of us. And look, right now, it's just about raising money. And I want to be
sure,
transparent about that. Like 90% of my first 2 weeks as an official candidate, because it's only been 2 weeks, has just been raising money. Look, if my friends and family are not going to give to me to run this campaign, then maybe I shouldn't be running. So let's do that first. I'm working through that list, raising those funds. We'll see where the first quarter lands in terms of money raised. And from there, I'd like to really pick up momentum and getting out to all the communities.
Right,
in person.
Right. The district is large, as you say, with 30 counties and all that. I think where some people feel that the district is so large and it is so diverse by way of you have here in Jonesboro so much economic activity that's going on by way of growth and all that. But then you go into other parts where it's just exact opposite. It's poverty. And there's some people, I think, who feel like some parts have been focused on, other parts have been neglected in that regard. How do you plan to address some of this with so much territory to cover and knowing that you have some parts that are very well and others that are deep in the delta?
And if you mean address it in terms of just trying to get as many voters as possible to hear my message, or are you talking about actually addressing the inequalities?
We'll start with the first one.
Okay. You know, I think it's we paint it with a broad brush in terms of, if we say, for example, Jonesboro is doing well and it's being prosperous, I would argue that there's still a sizable middle class here that is looking to uplift themselves and looking for better outcomes, better opportunities for their kids. I mean, it is the same American dream that my parents had when they first came here. And they were middle class. We weren't necessarily, you know, in poverty, but we still wanted better outcomes for people, for ourselves. And, you know, that's a message then that resonates with both those who are middle to even upper middle class, to those who are living in poverty. And it's important to paint that broad brush to figure out policy positions, platforms, and messages that resonate with that entire group of people.
What are some of the key challenges that this district face that you see, and how would you address them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say one of them is certainly, I've already talked about the tax bill, and I've talked about healthcare. To add another one to it, I would say, and this is a hot button issue. And so I want to be careful with words, but it is consistent with what I believe in. Mm-hmm. Folks, there is a Second Amendment right. Absolutely. That's important to folks. That's important to me. I think if someone were to break into your home, you have a right to shoot them. At the same time, if we're talking about an individual who has had a long history of mental health illness, if we were talking about, an assault rifle, is that really meant to kill deer? I think there are some common sense gun reforms that we could take to keep our families and our kids safer. Another one, when I think about education, that's my own particular background. I work at a public charter school where we're sending kids to college, and that's our whole mission. And that's not to say that's the only route for kids. I think we certainly have evidence that career and technical education is a viable option, but I think that college option should be an option, an opportunity for all kids. And look, we're I don't know the specific statistics off the top of my head, but in terms of this district and this state, we're not sitting pretty in terms of our educational outcomes, mm-hmm. and we need to do better. And it's a firm belief of mine, and it's something that I would fight for heavily if elected, and really be one of the big causes of what I'm doing, is if you are in college here at ASU, for example, and you're a first year and you're working part-time and you're getting good grades and you're staying out of trouble, we should be paying for your college. It is in our best interest for to have an educated citizenry, to have more folks gaining college degrees, because ultimately, we know the stats. We know that people do better, have better outcomes when they have college degrees. It's just a matter of figuring out our country's priorities. We should be paying for people's college if they're putting in their hard work and into the bargain.
And where would the money come from?
I mean, I think there are. I would look at a reshuffling of priorities. There are billions we spend on defense spending. There are a good amount of tax incentives that are given to large corporations. One in particular I'm thinking that would be related to the education sector. We subsidize large banks that provide student loans. I don't think that's a smart tactic. I think that's money that should, A, be paying for programs that help pay for college and also help pay for, instead, government or Department of Education loans that are lower interest and don't carry the same burden.
Right. One of the issues that you would face if you win the House seat is come up with a plan to be able to try and tackle the nation's debt, which is at $20.5 trillion, as I took a look at it this morning. What do you think is the best way to tackle the issue of the national debt?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge problem. Right? It's so huge that you don't even know where to start or how to begin. I would imagine that one of the first things, and even speaking as a Democrat and someone that believes in big government and government being a solver of problems, that there still probably is a lot of wasteful spending that happens, both in terms of programs, in terms of research is important, but maybe not all that research. And like I mentioned earlier, defense spending. I mean, we are the superpower of the world in a military sense many times over. Again, it's a question that I have in terms of priorities if that needs to continue to be so heavily funded. It's not the honest answer to that is not something that happens overnight. We're not going to be out of the deficit in a year, even 2 years, but it's one of the small incremental things that we're doing to be a little more mindful on our budget.
Chintan Desai joins us here on KASU. Going to defense spending for just a second, what do you think is the best way that the United States should deal with potential threats like ISIS, North Korea, and that some that might come out of that spending in that regard? What do you think would be a way to be able to do that? How should the United States deal with things like that? Because you might be dealing with stuff like that if you go into Congress.
Yeah, I mean, look, a priority of ours is to keep America safe, and that makes complete sense. And I think if we're talking about resources, yes, we should keep resources where we're talking about homeland security, where we're talking about intelligence gathering to ensure that threats are not hitting us here at home. A question that I have is, when we're talking about foreign wars, and we're talking about international conflicts. I think we have an international role, and we play that as a superpower. My question is, what are we doing to engage in diplomacy, in tactics where we're bringing other countries in before resorting to militarized strategies, whether it be bombs or boots on the ground. I just don't think that those are resources that are best spent as a first tactic in some of those situations. But again, to be clear, if we're talking about targets at home in America or our territories, we're doing everything we can to prevent another horrific attack like 9/11.
A couple more questions real fast. Your thoughts on infrastructure priorities, transportation and infrastructure, roads, bridges, things like that. How do we address those issues?
Look, I think, and President Trump actually had grand plans for this in a way, like I have some agreement with him on this. I don't know if it's come to fruition, but it's incredibly important for us to have safe roads, safe bridges, the entire infrastructure apparatus. I mean, we're the United States of America, and I think with that, there's a certain level of expectation on, look, what you're getting as a taxpayer. I mean, if you're a taxpayer, no matter how big or small the taxes that you pay are, that's helping to pay for that access to those resources. And if we're not putting our due diligence in, this is something that I want to debate Congressman Crawford on. If we're not doing that, then I don't think we're actually serving our best interests and doing what's best for this district. To me, it's any time when we're looking at potential dollars that could come to us here in the first district for an improvement or a repair, we've got to take it. Let's not make this a philosophical issue. Let's make this about people and what they need and what they deserve as taxpaying citizens.
If you're elected, what will your main priorities be in the first 100 days?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, the big one is we discussed some of these already, but it would be what are we doing to reform some of those things within the Obamacare law, within the ACA, to make it stronger and more beneficial to folks, and just throwing out the idea of a repeal. Really, what we want to do, and what I what like for the direction to be is that we're going to a Medicare for all system. It is a system that has been proven to be effective and efficient. And so how are we rounding up the votes, getting the consensus and support for something like that? I think it's making sure that we don't know where this tax bill is going to go, and we don't know where it might be in 2019. But if it were to be passed, I think that would be a big one, and actually taking that away, and making it clear that the top 2-3% might be paying higher taxes, but ultimately we need to think about the greater good of this country and what it really does mean in a large scale for more Americans to have tax relief rather than just the top few percent. The third one, and I mentioned it earlier, the longer term is, look, college has got to be more accessible. I work with kids, families in Helena and those surrounding communities that deserve every same right at a great shot in life as I did, that my parents gave me, as anyone else does. And again, I think we're falling short in terms of being able to actually prepare some of our young, bright minds to do well in their lives.
Chintan Desai has been joining us here on KASU. He's a Democratic challenger for the 1st Congressional District race, challenging current Republican U.S. Representative Rick Crawford. For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves reporting.